Welcome to the Thinking Man's Vagina, where we ponder gender and social issues with the integrity, intelligence, and parlor-style zest of a thinking man. I'm Shezza, and this is Amy.
Hi, everyone.
Personal space. Probably 4 months ago or so. No, it was longer ago. I decided to create an imaginary boyfriends list, and, why did I do this again?
Because you live in D.C. and there are no eligible men?
Aw, that's not true. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that was my idea at the time. Anyway, a couple things became apparent from this list, which is probably up to about 40 men
million?
Thus far. No, 40 men. And,
And or characters.
Oh, machine. God, you really had to take it there, didn't you? All right. So, many of them are dead. Many of them are gay. And some of them are both dead and gay. Main categories include characters from movies or novels or cartoons.
Your imagination.
Or my imagination. Actors or performers. Musicians, writers, theologians, and philosophers. Let's start with characters. So the first character...
And you want one man to be all of those things.
No! It's just a list, dude. It's just a list.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. All right. First character is Wally. I mean, he's cute, right? Like,
oh boy,
Wally. He's a very. If you don't know, he's a very well-intentioned, kind robot who cleans up trash, and he falls in love with a flying pod robot who has large eyes. Next character, and I mean, and this is just like an all-time great fucking character is Atticus Finch. From Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Atticus Finch is loyal and humble, and he's a devoted father. He's deeply moral. So he's on the list. Tim Riggins. Alright, so Tim Riggins is the, like, hottie from Friday Night Lights. He's really only on the list because he has a hot accent.
Is that show about football?
No. Well, sort of. Mm. It's not... You don't, like, have to know anything about football.
Good.
Are you going to watch it?
Because I don't.
Are you
going to
watch
it? No, I'm also not going to
Dude,
watch it.
Dude, it's a good show. It's a good show, I'm just saying.
I'm just surprised by how many people do watch it.
Because it has shit tons of heart. It's really good. It's good. Anyway, last character is Hamlet. I really don't even want to talk about that one. All right.
I really don't think you want to have that one on your list, actually.
I don't know, man. He's pretty good with language, not to jump ahead to jizz wisdom.
The man can not make a decision to save his life. That is not the man you want to be with.
Seems? I know not seems, madam.
Oh.
He's a... Don't get me all hot for Hamlet. All right. Actors. Gene Kelly? Are you kidding me? Gene Kelly. Okay, here's the thing about Gene Kelly. I watched Singing in the Rain a couple weeks ago, and... He is an incredible dancer, but he is in no way gay-looking when he dances. Do you know what I mean? Do you know how, like, a lot of, like, men who are really good dancers, you're like, this guy's a great dancer, and he's gay? I don't know. Gene Kelly, he has, like, a straight male way of dancing.
All right,
I don't know. Okay, Peter Sarsgaard, I don't want to talk about that. Robert Downey Jr., are you kidding me? Yeah, he's there. Robert Downey Jr., you don't like him?
You're going to have to be, like, sitting outside the salon waiting for him.
Oh, damn.
He was good in A Scanner Darkly, and that was it.
He's good in everything, are you kidding? Ugh, you crazy.
I don't know, not my scene.
All right, Sean Penn, I don't know why Sean Penn. God, you know, as I'm looking at this list, I'm realizing there's a lot of crazy people on here. Jimmy Dean, Marlon Brando. Okay,
see, James Dean, obviously, we share that one.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's amazing.
God, he is. Marlon Brando, specifically from...
Both of them, yeah.
On the Waterfront, Terry Malloy.
Yeah, James Dean from East of Eden.
Ugh.
And Marlon Brando from On the Waterfront.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Speak to me. Gregory Peck, yeah, whatever. Oh, River Phoenix. Amy, you can speak to
me. Oh, yeah. River Phoenix is my spirit animal, in case you're wondering. And one of many odd, random spirit animals I have.
He was beautiful.
He was my first, like, icon. He was definitely my first imaginary boyfriend.
Yeah.
I was 15 years old and... you know, painfully obsessed with him.
You had an altar, right?
I had a bit of an altar. We're going to cut this part out.
Okay. You had an altar, right?
I had an altar for River Phoenix, yes. Around 14, 15, I had a candle, and I had these weird beliefs of, like, you know, his spirit being linked to that. You know, 15-year-old girls are psychotic.
Whoa, you really, like, thought that?
Yeah, dude. I kept it for a really long time, 2 years. I don't remember when I threw it out.
I wish you still had it. That would be useful for the Amy Memorial.
It was a white pillar candle, and, you know, I mean, I was just really devoted to it. I tape recorded the entirety of Stand By Me on my Walkman and would listen to it as I went to bed. Yeah.
Like, as you were
As I was falling asleep. I know that movie, like, the back of my hand.
I mean, River Phoenix is gorgeous.
The speech he gives Will Wheaton about being a writer kills me. It's a speech everyone should give their friend at some point in life. Because if your parents are too fucked up to do it, then I should.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. I'm not particularly proud of this one, but for whatever reason, Louis C.K. Louis C.K. is on the list. But to be honest, it's just that I think he's hilarious, but not imaginary boyfriend material. Gael García Bernal from Bad Education, yeah. All the Almodovar movies, he's amazing. And last in our actors category, Indiana Jones era Harrison Ford.
Yes. What? I don't get it. I don't get a lot of these typical Clooney, Harrison Ford.
Where do you see George
Clooney? No, I'm just saying I don't get them as lust objects. Per se.
Dude, Harrison Ford.
I've never seen Indiana Jones. I probably shouldn't admit
what?
That in public. But
oh, my God. You've never seen any of them?
I played the classic adventure game. On my PC.
On my PC.
Oh,
wait, you've never seen any of...
Dude. I know who Short Round is. That's about it.
You've seen Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I rented all the Star Wars in high school.
So...
of my own volition.
You know, I mean, time frame-wise, the Star Wars era Harrison Ford isn't all that far from the Indiana Jones Harrison. Jones era.
Joneson. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, writers. I mean, this is obviously related to my own obsession with language. Here's where a lot of the gays come in. Frank O'Hara, gay. Oscar Wilde, gay. Andre Dubuque, he writes short stories. He has a beautiful, beautiful book called We Don't Live Here Anymore. It's about the end of a marriage. He's not gay. Robert Lowell, not gay, but did commit suicide.
He's awesome.
David Foster Wallace, God, be still my heart, I'm so sad he's gone. Albert Camus, Camus not gay, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Whitman, definitely gay.
Albert Camus is on my list as well. I had these romantic ideas of being just like him in my older age.
Oh,
living in Algiers and drinking on balconies. Oh,
nice.
Pondering my own mortality. So good.
A dream deferred.
Yeah.
A dream deferred. David Simon. All right. Here's the thing about David Simon. David Simon is – he wrote The Wire. And frankly, he – from all the interviews I've read, he's a stick in the mud. He has a great fucking blog. But I don't actually want him as a boyfriend. I just admire him. Charles Baudelaire.
Oh, see, my brain turned that into Charles Bukowski, and I have this whole thing planned where I was going to be like, I do find it interesting that so many women are all about Charles Bukowski.
I don't like Charles Bukowski because I think he has the same problem that many of the beat writers have, which is that they are simply too proud of their cocks.
Oh, yeah.
They're so proud of their
cocks. But if you were a man, wouldn't you be?
Oh, boy. You know, it's hard to say. Actually, just a couple months ago, my housemate, she does this CSA thing where she, like, brings vegetables home, and she brought this squash that was really explicitly, like, male genital looking, you know? And I actually, like, put it up to where the penis would be if I had a penis.
So you're packing.
I'm not packing. I was just interested in, like, the experience of, like, that's about as close as I'm
washing your pants.
Exactly. No, I didn't put it in my pants. I just had it over. But it really wasn't my thing. It just was not my thing. I've never wanted my genitals on the outside of my body.
I don't either, but I can see the allure.
Or
the power that being able to... This is going to be vulgar, I guess.
That's okay. That's all right.
The power of being able to take your cock in your hands, that's power. I think.
What? How is that? You're blowing my mind. How is that power?
I can't keep my genitalia safe. I mean, a man.
Wait,
can't
how do you? Either, how is it safe in your hand?
To a man? Like wielding a sword? Is it
a
not?
Sword? Dear God!
Is it not?
Is it like a gun? Maybe. Jesus.
How much musical imagery is there comparing a cock to a gun?
No, I know. I know.
So, yeah, they see it that grandiose, and I can understand that.
I mean, I don't have any problem with, you know, male genitals. It's fine, but it's I would never... I don't know. You know what? To be honest, it's impossible to imagine. I cannot imagine having a penis. It's impossible.
Yeah, same.
I cannot imagine what it's like.
Right.
I had a conversation with somebody a while ago, and she was saying that I think we were talking about whether we would you ever want to like be a man for a day, you know? And I said yes, mainly because I would be interested in just being in public as a man and what that would be like. Like, what would it be like to be a man walking down a street? You know, that could be interesting. But she also said that she really wanted to be a man because she wanted to know what it's like to be totally like animalistically desperate to have sex with something. And I was like, you know, I'm not sure that that's like limited to men. And she was like, yeah, but just the sort of like,
I think it's more of a male thing for sure.
What do you mean? How?
Because of the whole nature of give and receive of penis and vagina, P and a V. Like, we are built to receive. We are not built to give.
You know, I guess I would just say that there are toys that make things, you know.
No, but
I don't know. I don't think it's quite as clear as it used to be.
You do have a more technologically advanced view of this whole thing.
Yeah,
I don't believe in the whole strap-on. Well, it's not that I don't believe in it. It's just... It's not the same as being a man for a day. Like,
no, I hear you.
It's like putting your hands in mittens. You want to put your dick somewhere.
Mittens? Did you have to say mittens?
What's more comfortable?
If you had said gloves, it would have been okay. But somehow you say
no,
mittens.
It's mittens.
You have to put... What? I don't know, man. I feel like you're... Jesus. I don't know. I obviously have no idea.
It's more of a biological need for a man.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. Other highlights of the list include Soren Kierkegaard, who graciously, if sadly, left his fiancée because he was too full of fear and trembling. He was too sad. He couldn't deal with it, man.
I really...
I know, he died really young. Billy Shakespeare, that's obvious. Abe Lincoln? I don't know why Abe Lincoln is on the list.
It's because you're a trendy fuck.
Shut the... Alright.
Carl I'm sorry. Young. Why is Lincoln so trendy right now?
Because,
why?
Because Spielberg made a movie that's going to be awesome. I haven't seen it, but it's going to be awesome. Did you know that there are more biographies of Abraham Lincoln than any other American figure?
Gay. No, he was gay.
Dude.
It's like written about.
Really?
So add that to your list.
What do you mean it's written about?
That Abraham Lincoln was gay?
What? I've never heard that in my life. Are you serious?
I swear to God. Swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
Dude, you're making shit up.
I'm not making it up, but I have no reference to back me up. But I know I've heard that. We'll get back to you on that.
All right. Musicians category, another, you know, there's a lot of gay boys on this one, too. Leonard Cohen.
I've heard you call people sad bastards before.
Yeah.
And you have this list, and you want me to not point out that they're all sad bastards?
They're all sad.
Oh, my God.
Gene Kelly is full of joy. He's so happy he dances.
One. And Leonard Cohen's in the corner crying.
I remember you well. Yeah, he's just, Leonard Cohen.
He's awesome, though. He's so awesome.
Paul Simon's happy.
Yeah,
he's so happy he writes Afropop. That's pretty fucking happy. Okay. David Byrne. Yeah, David Byrne's kind of sad. David Bowie. Yeah, let's not even get into that. Leonard Cohen. I heard of a man who says words so beautifully.
If he only speaks their name, women give themselves to him.
Okay, so you talking like that brings to me an issue that I feel like could be even another topic entirely.
Okay.
Do you want to date these people or be these people?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, we're going to need to get into that.
I really like the idea of Leonard Cohen being my boyfriend. Are you kidding me?
He's not that attractive.
Dude.
I don't know.
Dude. It's Leonard Cohen. All right, whatever.
He wrote some good songs.
Ugh. God, blasphemy. What about Morrissey? Asexual, but actually gay, right?
Morrissey is another of my spirit animals.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Stephen Merritt, oh my god. Yeah. Stephen Merritt of the Magnetic Fields, he's the greatest.
Magnetic Fields?
Yeah, the Magnetic Fields, shut up. Rufus Wainwright, also gay. Mark Kozelik. Mark Kozelik of the Red House Painters. All right.
I think having a crush on Stephen Merritt is kind of a cop out because that's like having a crush on the guy who invented Valentine's Day.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. Stephen Merritt is amazing and his songs touch my heart and make me cry. Unlike the guy who invented Valentine's Day.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so that's the list working, at least as of now. We'd love to hear from you guys. Who's on your imaginary boyfriend or girlfriend list? You can let us know.
At Thinking Man's Vag, anywhere on the internet. Anyway, Jizz Wisdom this week is revolving around Stephen King. There's a quote that sort of stood out. It pertains to both of us. Shez and I both write. Shez is actually a writer, I just pretend.
Dude.
And, well, but the point of this whole topic is really regardless. The quote is, "Writing is seduction. Good talk is part of seduction. If not so, why do so many couples who start the evening at dinner wind up in bed?" And it's absolutely true, especially living in the day and age we do now where everything is text, digital communication, everything is words and how you use them. So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I was at some stupid party a while ago. Most of the parties I go to are stupid. And at this stupid party, there was some conversation about the sexiest organ or the no, not the sexiest organ because that would be a lot. The kidney, obviously. Right? but the sexiest part of the body, and my answer was the brain. And everyone was like, "That's a cop out," and I was like, "Fuck y'all! It is." And
I think it is.
It's
the only thing that separates us from being like the other animals. It's our claim to fame. The way I was describing the power of holding your cock is how I would describe having a human brain.
Can you unpack that a little bit for our listeners and for me? Because I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
The power of having something so much more capable than many other species, all other species, is powerful. So having a human brain instead of another animal brain is an amount of power that we get to have. That's why I hate slang. It's why I hate a lot of the directions that younger people are going in, because they don't utilize the brain as much as you could using proper English, for instance. And that's like a gift, like having a big cock. Like, it's just powerful.
Wow.
Is that too much?
No, it's, my head exploded a little bit, but I think I'm going to be okay. All right, here's the thing. So when I went to a Christian college, and that wasn't necessarily the best match for me, but I actually, I did find, and there was a guy, I was in this honors classics program, and
did you bring your strap on with you? to your Christian college?
Actually, you know, there was something that I called the Purple Challenge. No. Was it called the Purple Challenge? Oh, my friend had a dream once that, and there was, the theme song of the dream was, "Hey, it's the Purple Challenge." "What? It's the Purple Challenge." And in the dream, she had a large basket of purple sex toys that she was like throwing to, like, she was like in a field and she was like throwing them to the various women of the Christian college community. My role...
Lesbian.
No, my role in all that was providing the morning after pill.
Yeah, somebody had to.
which I did. Totally, like, you know. That,
not as a result of using...
Not as a result of using... Well, no. Anyway, there was a guy in my Classics Honors program, this guy named Eric, and we were fiercely competitive. We were intellectual competitors, and I was very competitive at that time in my life, but what I remember was one day, we were like mid, you know, debate about whatever, and I looked across the table, and I felt lust for him. And it wasn't, and it was totally not at all related to what he was, what he looked like, how he presented himself, his personality. It was like just the language. It was explicitly and only just the language. And I do think that words are probably more of a turn on for me than most other things. What's interesting though is that I hate erotica. I hate it.
Well, I think the power of words has nothing to do with talking about sex, obviously.
Right.
But to me, what you describe with this guy is more like there's a fine line between love and hate versus...
Yeah.
But I guess that is the power of intellect. Because when you meet your intellectual match, it's definitely an aphrodisiac. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's true.
Lately, I've been grappling with, like, is it wrong to use that skill as a way to get what you want romantically? Is it just as bad as using your looks to get somebody into bed? I can talk someone into me, like...
Whoa, yeah.
Fairly easily if it's by demographic. And I think a lot of women have that. Cheerleaders have their demographic and dress to suit that. Sorority girls dress to suit their fraternity demographic. And it's very explicit and very obvious. But when you're using words, it's a lot more subtle. But I know the exact right things to say, to name drop. I talk about things I don't even know because I know how to describe them well.
That's
a weapon.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a weapon if used as a weapon, you know?
True.
I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know, I was thinking about, like, I have such a weird relationship with language and words anyway, like, sometimes I read certain pieces of writing and I feel like I'm, like, hanging with my friends, you know, like, I'm so close to books. That they seem like my friends, but I would never be, like, I don't, like, read Oscar Wilde and think that he's hot, you know? And it's, I don't know, maybe it's the voice. Maybe, like, if you hear someone,
a good voice helps.
A good voice does help. Robert Siegel. I'm Robert Siegel. I want to fuck Robert Siegel's voice. I'm just putting it out there.
But, yeah, so basically Stephen King is kind of backing me up here with, why do so many couples not? Because he wants to. Didn't you say he was gay and I didn't understand that?
I have no idea if he's gay. I don't know. I have no idea if he's gay. I think he's... I have no idea. I'm not even going to guess.
All right. Anyway.
But he... Actually, I will say that when I was probably 10 years old, I would sometimes go to the local college bookstore and read the sex scenes in Stephen King novels. There was a really great one in, what's the one about the car that, like, talks and kills people?
Knight Rider?
No.
I have no idea.
Fuck. Christine. It's called Christine. Have you read, did you read Stephen King?
I've read two books.
You read The Shining, right?
Carrie.
Well, Carrie is incredible.
And Salem's Lot.
Yeah. Oh, Salem's Lot, yeah.
So I didn't get too many
sexy. One not sexy Stephen King book is Pet Sematary. Not a sexy read, people. Animals.
I was too busy reading Danielle Steele for sex scenes anyway.
Oh, dang, Gina. I never read that shit. You know, I saw, I was over at somebody's house yesterday, and I was in her, like, childhood bedroom.
Danielle Steele?
No. And she had Beverly Cleary books.
Aww.
I know! Ramona. And it took me way the hell back. And if you remember, Beverly Cleary had really controversial scenes of, like, teenagers masturbating.
Really?
Yeah. She was like, it was like a huge deal because she was, it was so controversial.
Hmm.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. My point was just that King is definitely backing me up because he says, why do so many couples who start the evening at dinner wind up in bed? Obviously, it's just the same as wearing a low cut dress. So
you talk it. You talk it out. Talk it off.
Use your words, people.
Talk it off. You have to talk it off. Anyway.
Was that Arrested Development?
Yeah. Sorry. Amy, I'm going to let you head up Gender Bent.
Sure. Gender Bent's excellent today because my favorite topic is the movies I loved as a child. and they all happen to be centrally about little boys.
It sounds sick when you say it, man.
It's terrible, yeah. But it's true.
Okay.
Home Alone, Goonies, Neverending Story, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Sandlot.
There's girls in those movies. Well, Sandlot, that's pretty dude-centric.
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
And even if there are girls, that's the second part of this, none of them were ever really... They were always the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Or weak side characters. Even in Goonies, the one who's supposed to be more of a hard ass is like weak and ends up falling for Corey Feldman anyway.
Dude.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Right. I know, that's right. Actually, I was just going to ask you, who in the Goonies cast is your imaginary boyfriend?
Oh,
it's Corey Feldman, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, I know.
I love him so much. I have a big Corey Feldman thing. Anyone who...
What about the, what about the chubby guy? Chubby kid?
Chunk?
No! Chunk? Oh my god. Oh yeah, I definitely want to bang Chunk. Oh my god, you're right.
Why are you laughing at me? Like, I don't know.
Because I thought you were talking about Sloth.
No. I thought you were talking about Sloth.
Also a man,
sorry.
Sloth?
The only badass in any of those movies is the female villain in Goonies.
Ooh,
she was like a fat
pirate
bitch.
The pirate,
yeah.
She was like the woman in Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the same actress?
Yeah.
God, that woman is terrifying.
She's creepy.
That's a terrifying woman.
All they serve here is tongue.
Anyway. Yeah, she was the worst. And then she had those like hapless dudes who were trying to help her, but they sucked. And ooh,
yeah,
it's a great movie. Great soundtrack.
And I used to always attribute this. As my parents were divorced, and so I would always go to my dad's on weekends, and we'd watch movies together. And obviously, my dad doesn't want to sit around watching girl stuff, so we would watch Neverending Story and things he could enjoy watching as well. Like, I did have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles VHS also. I know you want to talk about that.
Oof, we'll get there. Donatello.
My question is really...
Donatello's the hottest.
I don't... They're fucking cartoon turtles. They're not hot.
Donatello is the hottest one.
Because of his purple bandana? Like, what the fuck?
No, it's their weapons.
Oh, see? It's like a sword. See?
Wow.
Anyway, the only credit that we had growing up didn't come until the 90s, and that was the movie Now and Then. Rosie O'Donnell and a young Christina Ricci. And it was a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great.
Excellent. You know, I love adventure, and it was your classic adventure film, but with girls. And my question is kind of like, did the 80s favor boys? Was this, I mean, John Hughes sort of kind of monopolized that, except for he put a female role, like central character. I mean, Molly Ringwald was always there, but she was always pining after
he died. But what about Ally Sheedy in Breakfast Club? I mean, she was like
one. So we have one.
Right, I know.
And she's also so damaged, she fits in that crazy psycho bitch.
Right, and then, of course, the only time when she's not the psycho bitch is when Molly Ringwald does her up. Like,
right.
Right, and then she dates the jock. God damn it, you're right.
It's
Emilio Estevez is not on my imaginary boyfriend list.
None of them are. Not even Jeff Nelson.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, he's on my
Maybe list. Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh. Ew! Problem! No. Jude Law? Jude Law? What the hell am I talking about? No. Judd Nelson. Oh, he is on my list. Are you kidding me?
Mm. He's good in that movie. I don't know.
Dude, he's
too much face for me.
A little too much face? Are you kidding? No, I love it. All right. I was actually thinking about Broadcast News, which is definitely like an adult movie. But it has Holly Hunter, and Holly Hunter is like a strong female.
Well, the 80s did have strong adult female movies. Wasn't like 9 to 5 working women.
Yeah.
Weren't those like 80s movies? It was all about the like power suit and the cropped haircut.
Power suit and like cropped haircut and having childcare in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't child oriented. It was still like
Yeah, you're right.
They were still shoveling the like traditional anti-female cliches at us as children, basically.
What's your take on April from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I didn't watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Wasn't she like a secretary? Or is that Ghostbusters?
No, that's Ghostbusters. But no. April had red hair
and
she
wore...
Yes! Good job! Yes. And she wore a yellow jumpsuit and she like rolled with the turtles.
She wasn't fixing anything.
No, she wasn't fixing anything, but they weren't like having sex with her. She was just like,
that's good. They made one good choice. They didn't show turtle on human sex.
That would be really inappropriate.
But no, I'm saying like, why wasn't Atreyu a girl? Why wasn't one of the kids on the Sandlot baseball team a girl?
Yeah. Are there any women in that movie?
Are there any black kids in that movie? Like, that's kind of a rough choice. I think that was 90s also.
Yeah, I think 90s. You're right. I think you're right.
I think there was a black kid.
What about what about Atreyu? I mean, Atreyu...
looks kind of feminine.
Yeah.
Not
that's
a girl.
Part of why he's a hottie.
He's adorable. He didn't grow up to be so hot, but he was adorable.
Really? I don't want to see him as a grown-up. I really don't.
I'm sure it was a BuzzFeed article. See where he is now. That's all they do.
What about She-Ra, Princess of Power?
I didn't watch any of that. Like, in terms of cartoons, I watched a lot of, like, really girly Strawberry Shortcake.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, Gem, Barbie. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. Jesus. You know,
but I was watching, like, Barbie and the Rockers, or it was Gem and the Rockers. It was, like, their band one.
Right. Not oh, that's, else. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But,
that's different. That's definitely
I don't know. Terrible.
She-Ra, Princess of Power was a real badass. I liked her a lot. She definitely had, like, breasts made of muscle.
Breast is muscle. Oh, no, it's fat.
It's fat. Yeah. Really? It's fat.
There's muscle there. Those are pecs.
Yeah, but those are under the boobage.
Okay, go on.
I'm just saying I thought...
Anatomy lesson of the day. Go on.
Just thought Princess of Power was cool.
Yeah, and there's also Wonder Woman. There's a lot of stuff I wasn't paying attention to in the 80s, and specifically movies. You know, adventure movies were really
big. What about Princess Leia? She's a badass.
Was kept as a sex slave.
Oh.
By a fat mush.
Jabba. Jabba the Hutt.
And they duped her into wearing that.
I know. I read that article too.
Meh.
Carrie Fisher, why? Oh, Carrie Fisher,
she was
why?
Super young, too.
So dude, she's a badass.
Bound
I love
to happen.
Her.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I grew up really conflicted because I wanted to be that character.
And you wanted to be the childlike empress from The Neverending Story.
I did. But more so, I wanted to be Kevin in Home Alone. Kevin McAllister is also my spirit animal. I've said that.
Kevin Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was the first person I've ever identified with on film. That's why it became such a huge movie.
You identified with him.
Yeah.
Why?
Because of that scene where he's on the stairs and he goes, I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
Oh.
I had never heard a kid
say that.
Express unhappiness.
Whoa.
And I was like, all right.
Wow.
I can get with that. And it was a lot of stuff that really came to light as I got older, like when he's stomping around going like, when I grow up and get married, I'm living alone, you hear me? Like,
Yeah.
I am that kid, pretty much.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really, I've never heard anybody speak that so strongly about fucking
I've
Home Alone.
Never heard anyone love Home Alone the way you do.
Dude, I've heard that before. That part.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
People are like, wow.
Oh, my God.
College? College, I would get drunk and just sit there and quote the movie. I'd be like, I'm going to leave the party now and just watch Home Alone and recite it by heart.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude.
When was the last time you watched it?
Like, last week.
How many times have you seen it?
It's December. I'm watching it a lot more now.
Well, what do you mean you watch it more than once in December's past?
I watch it every year multiple times.
You do?
Yeah.
How many times a year do you watch it?
At least three. I watch it at least once with my parents and probably two on my own.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a fan.
Yeah.
That's like legit
I
fandom.
Saw him do like a book reading. I'm like, it's sad.
He wrote a book?
It's not really.
What is it about?
It's like stupid musings on him.
Is it a memoir?
It kind of.
It sucks.
Boring. Yeah. So that's, we've exhausted that.
I believe so. We close with the world at large. Topic this week is the issue of veganism. And possibly to help fill y'all in, so I went sort of dimly vegan. I have no idea. Why did I go vegan?
Because you were moving in here?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was moving in with a woman who had declared herself vegan, like, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. She's actually not vegan anymore. And so I just kind of wanted to do it and see what it was like. And I think I'm mostly vegan aside from cheese and eggs and meat. Here's actually, this is my rule. This is like, I'm sure that I'm offending people here, but my take on veganism is that I am vegan in my home. But if I'm out to dinner or at someone else's house, then I eat animal products.
You're not the first person I've heard that from.
Really? That's great.
A lot of my texts actually use the term veganish in the book.
Yeah.
So it's part of it. My thing with it is I recently became vegan, just hit the 6 month mark.
Bam.
And I became vegan because of dairy. And a bunch of people I know have also become vegan. Like they were just saying, my friend because of family health concerns, another friend because an engagement broke off and she wanted to try cooking or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, people will become vegan for any reason.
Right.
So the books that I've read have sort of tried to allow for that and do actually acknowledge veganish, because it's really hard to be strict vegan. Vegans even exclude honey, and that's really extreme to me.
Yeah.
I am sort of flexible with that.
Bees liked making honey.
Right. Bees will make honey whether we consume it or not. So
it's pleasurable to make honey.
A cow won't slice itself up into chopped meat. You know?
God damn it, dude.
And I mean, I'm not even vegan for the cow's sake. I've learned a lot.
The proverbial cow.
I guess what I find so interesting is, like, vegan's really kind of trendy now. And
it's totally trendy.
I take issue with anything that's trendy. That's the root of most of things I talk about. And are people becoming vegan because it's popular right now? It's very easy to be vegan here in D.C. and Baltimore. And people have the luxury to say, I'm a vegan now, and, you know, create a sort of reason why they are. I don't get into, like, all my shit when I talk about why I became vegan. I just say, oh, I was eating too much dairy. And I've created this sort of, like, veganism was the right decision for me. Here's why. Because it's a defensive stance. Everyone gets defensive when they talk about being vegan. Everyone.
Really? People get to, they need to, wow.
I mean, I was put on trial at work by my coworkers who were like, how do you get protein? What about this? I have people eating like pork chops in my face at work. Like, no joke. It's funny. And I don't mind because I'm not that serious about it. But nobody's just like, oh, you're vegan. Cool. Which is the difference between that and all these other diets. I wonder if it's the same as like being fat free or being on Atkins or being on paleo. No one's like,
right.
Oh my God, you're paleo?
Right.
Even though that's trendy as fuck right now.
It has to be, it puts people on the defensive in some way. That's the only reason that they're having a strong reaction to it, right? Is that.
Well, and this to me is very similar to the whole 80s movie thing, even because we were spoon-fed what women should expect life to be like, just like we were spoon-fed meat. Like, we were told that eating meat is right. We were
that's
raised.
That's a horrifying image. A spoonful of meat.
Yeah. No, but seriously, like, we were told that eating meat is right, and that's the only reason we think it. The only reason we think anything is because someone told us it was right. We don't have independent thoughts. So the idea to, like, go against everything we were raised knowing and not eating meat is so blasphemous. There's no other word for it but blasphemous.
Mm.
But it's not really that serious. It's choosing not to eat something that has proven to, like, have negative effects. It's really not that big of a deal.
Do you, can I ask, do you plan to be vegan for the rest of your life?
I don't look at it like that.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
I don't know. A good looking piece of cheese could come up to me tomorrow.
You just never know. Just walking down the sidewalk, big old piece of cheese.
Yeah.
It's like, Amy, I love you.
That's what it says to me.
That's what it says to me too. That's interesting.
And that's why it's a slippery slope. I think food can be used as a weapon to anything else. Dude.
Right.
Like, it's really just sort of having control over what you can have control over, and that's it. But I just think it's funny that veganism is like the thing to do now.
Yeah, it is. I know.
I hated vegans a year ago.
Yeah. Look at you now.
Now I'm vegan. Ridiculous.
No, it's nice. It's fine.
It's nice.
It's nice.
But I mean, like, there are so many vegan blogs and, like, vegan people on Twitter, and it's laughable how popular a person can become, or just how much notoriety a person can become. I know people whose entire friendship is just based on the fact that they're vegan.
Like, really? Pretty much. Is there that much to share?
So much of why I became vegan is because I have a friend who's vegan and preaches it.
Yeah, she does preach it. She does preach.
So, and that helped me.
No, totally.
Fix something in my life, so it worked. But it's just, there's such a torch. And I've seen people have that torch with paleo. People who are into CrossFit and paleo
go nuts. That's true. yes.
You lift those weights and eat that meat.
Oh, CrossFit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, CrossFit.
I feel like there's so much unbridled, like, testosterone.
I totally feel like they're gonna like walk into a post like a post office with a shotgun and fucking kill everybody.
Yeah,
they're lunatics.
Scares me.
Yep.
That's what eating dead flesh will do to you.
Oh, that's so vegan.
I'm so mild now.
She's kind of vegan. All right.
Is that a song?
No, She's Kind of Asian was a song I wrote a while ago.
Excellent. We'll hear that next week. So, thank you all for listening to The Thinking Man's Vagina. We welcome any and all feedback. If you want to add to the action, we'll have topic posts as usual on Facebook, and please send comments, questions, and queries to thinkingmansvag@gmail.com. Connect with us on Twitter and Facebook at thinkingmansvag or our website, thinkingmansvag.com. Basically, just type Thinking Man's Vag into Google. All opinions stated here, as always, are solely our own. We do not claim to speak on behalf of all vaginas, let alone all thinking men.